Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. In God will I praise his word. Thank you because your word has gone forth and it will not return void. It will prosper in the thing whereunto you sent it, accomplish your pleasure as well. I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And it is your pleasure. This is the thing that I have proposed upon the whole earth, you said. This is the hand that stretched forth upon my people to break the Assyrian over them and to remove the burden from off of their shoulders. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We love you, Lord. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and brings understanding. And we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Praise the Lord. You know, we're so glad and pleased to hear wonderful testimonies this morning. For all the people that came to celebrate with us in Arizona, we heard that those that traveled back, they've all made it back home safely. And so we give honor and praise to the Lord for that. And again, we continue to thank them, every one of you that came. Praise the Lord. We also received news yesterday that our elder James is now responding and talking. Hallelujah. Somebody can say praise the Lord to that. Well, let's open our mouths and just praise the Lord for that. Yeah.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen and amen. Yes, indeed, we thank the Lord for that good report that came to us from his wife. And rehab and so forth will be going on. And we know that the Lord will perfect his health. He will restore health unto him. This the Lord already told us. And he will heal him of all his wounds. And there's still a lot to be done. But we are encouraged by the progress, praise the Lord. And thank you, everyone that's been praying. Continue in your prayers to lift up every prayer request that you have heard in this room. You just continue to lift them up before the Lord as often as the Holy Spirit will bring such things to your remembrance. Praise the Lord. All right, well, I'm going to give a little exercise here this morning before I get into this lesson, kind of like a little icebreaker here, you know. So as my son was putting together the documentary video, he asked me for something, and I was looking for it actually in the video. I don't think I saw it. Maybe he had to cut it out. He said, if you were to tell me, what are your three favorite scriptures? And I said, well, you know, and I sent them to him. I said, well, there's many, but, you know, I'll just, you asked for three, so I'll just give you these three. So there's a little exercise. You know, I'm going to ask you this morning. What do you think are my three favorite scriptures? You know, post them in the chat room. I mean, favorite in the sense that I say them all the time. In this room, you know, I just say them all the time. So what are my, well, what do you think? That's the way I can put it. May not be, your answer may not be correct, but at least that's what you thought. You know, Jesus one time said, you know, who do men say that I am? And they say one thing or the other. And they say, okay, fine. What about you? What do you think? Who do you say that I am? So what do you think? Let's wake up this morning. This might help you to wake up. What do you think are my three favorite scriptures? At least you should remember one, if not all three. And, you know, that I've said all the time. It could be something I say all the time. It could be something that I've given memory verse of. It could be something that I've, you know, tried to inspire into people. I mean, so I gave him three. So, because he only asked for three. If he had asked for 10, I could have given him 10. I have a lot of scriptures that are my favorite. I don't know if I have any one favorite scripture or any three, but since he asked for three, I gave him three. Okay, let me see what people are saying. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded, he said, and I've set my face like a flint. I know that I will not be ashamed. My goodness. Multiple people are posting that at Isaiah 50 verse 7. Hallelujah. Someone said Job 32 and 8. Praise God and praise God. And someone said, in fact, the first three postings that are here and the several that follow, they got it. You all got it right. So you can all clap for yourselves. So let me clap for all of you here. How do I find, which one is the clapping thing here? I don't know. Maybe this one or maybe the hand wave one. But anyway, I clap for all of you. You got it right. You know, when he asked me three, what are your three favorite scriptures? Well, if you're just joining us, here's a little exercise for you. I said, my son asked me for my three favorite scriptures or three of my favorite scriptures. I don't know how he put it when he was doing the documentary. And I gave him three. And I asked the people here, what do you think are three of my favorite scriptures or my three favorite scriptures based on what I say all the time in this room? You know, and my goodness, people are so sharp in this room. You guys are awesome. You're just so sharp. Let me try. Maybe this is the hand wave. Lady Ebon did that one. I think that's the wave. I'm not sure which one is the clap. When we first started this app years ago, or when this first came out, the clap used to be, you know, you tap on your mic.
You would have to go to the sound section, sir.
Yeah. So anyway. You know, if you find the symbol, post it up. Let me see it. This one, I think it's the wave. Everybody thinks that that's the clap one. Okay. So let me use it to clap for you guys because you are all so good. You got it right. So I gave three scriptures to him when he asked me, you know, and, you know, I gave it to him in the order in which they chronologically appeared in the Bible. Not necessarily that was the order of favoritism, but the order in which they chronologically appeared in the Bible, you know. And what are those scriptures? Let's just do a quick review, you know, before we go on, you know. One of my all-time favorites, Job 32 and verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. This scripture, you know, has changed my story many times. With this scripture, the Lord has pulled me out of many difficult situations. I mean, things that I couldn't figure out, even in technology. And, you know, I mean, just trusting for that inspiration. And it came, you know, even when I was in college, trying to figure out exams and different things. And I just, it was just amazing. Even on my job, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. Even when I was, you know, applying for a higher position and I didn't know what they were going to ask me, the inspiration of the Almighty just came to me, gave it all me, all the stuff that I needed to know and more. And I said, well, you throw me that curveball, I'm going to knock it out of the park. Praise the Lord. And I did too, you know. And then the next one, like I said, just in chronological order that they appear in the Bible. The next one, of course, you heard me say that one almost every single day. In fact, if nobody got this one right, you know, I wouldn't be clapping for you, but you all got it right. I mean, because I say it every single time when I pray. And that's because, you know, that's what I believe. You know, the word of God, I believe, you know, is the thing that brings light to our situation. You know, when we sit in darkness, that word will bring light. And it also goes with the understanding. It also talks about understanding. So you'll see that understanding is one of my favorite subjects, you know, along with faith, of course. You know, so, you know, understanding is in Job 32:8. Understanding is in Psalm 119 and verse 130. And then, of course, yeah, you all know Isaiah 50 and verse 7. I have said it many times. I have given it as a memory verse multiple times. This is my declaration of faith. This is my posture of faith. You know, this is how I roll by the grace of God. You know, it's like, look, you know, this is it. You know, I am not going to be confounded because the Lord God will help me. You know, and I will set my face. I have indeed actually set my face as a flint. And I know that I would not be ashamed. Now, if you take these three scriptures and, you know, weave them together, kind of, my goodness, out comes a victorious, powerful life of walking with God. That's right. You know, the devil can't defeat you if you can get a hold of these three scriptures. I've got more, but, you know, the young man asked me for three, so I gave him the three. Well, thank you for playing that little exercise with me this morning. You all did very, very well. Praise the Lord. Very, very well. Everybody quoted all those three scriptures. All right. Well, I do have some other favorite scriptures as well, you know, and my new book that I just released, which you, those of you that came, got a copy of it. Again, that is based on some of my favorite scriptures and also based on some of my favorite topics. You know, the book is called The Principles of the Oracles of God. You know, and you can find it on Amazon Publishing. It's out there now, but I wanted to give it as a gift to all those that came to celebrate us, the walking with God. It wasn't the whole 230-something plus people, but just the walking with God. I purchased 50 copies myself. You know, Amazon would not let you publish anything for free. You have to put a price there. So I put almost the minimum possible price because I just want to give it away. I really don't want to, you know, sell it per se, but it is what it is on Amazon. So I purchased 50 copies of it myself. And I said, well, I'm going to give this to our Walking With God folks, and they will be the first, you know, to get. So that book is based on Hebrews 11:13 and also Mark 11. You know, you might know the Hebrews 11:13 as one of my favorites. Talk about, when I talk about faith specs, you know, saw the promise afar off, they were persuaded, they were embrace it and then confess it. That came out of that verse. I did not learn it of man. The Lord gave it to me one day, you know, and many of my sermons are like that too. Lord just give them to me. And then, so that was, you know, four of the seven. In that book, I outlined seven principles. And that was that chapter and that verse, Hebrews 11:13, you know, has four of them. And I added three more, you know, from the story of the, you know, Mark 11 story of Jesus with the fig tree that wasn't producing, and what, you know, what he said to his disciples afterwards. I brought something out. And then I brought something out from, you know, another scripture as well, you know. And these are the things that have helped me in my life. And I thought that this would be, I thought, you know, I was thinking of, everybody kept telling me, write a book, write a book, write a book. I said, well, I don't know. But I said, well, if I did, I would probably do it like sermon books, like, you know, Neil Frisbee used to do, who was my pastor for many years. I would, you know, just take, because it's easier. You already preached the thing, you know, just, you know, transcribe it into text. It'd be easier for me that way than to sit down and try to write the thing, because I would never finish it. I'd always be changing it and changing it. So I took, and I said, well, okay, this one is really a good one. Because if you can learn those principles, my goodness, you know, there was a subtitle to the book that says, get your prayers answered 100% of the time. Yeah. You know, so, because if you can master those principles, it will, your prayers will no longer be guesswork. It will no longer be, oh, well, maybe I'll pray, maybe God will answer it, maybe not. It will just be, it will be on point every single time. You know, so you can read also, you know, Mark 11. Jesus said a couple of things in verse 23. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain. So those were additional principles. You know, you say it and so forth. And you do not doubt it, but you believe it. You know, and then, you know, you will see what you're believing for. I think I added one more in there as well, you know, to praise the Lord and so forth. So anyway, if you want to get the book, or get the book for others, you have to check it out. There may be similar titles there. You know, when I was posting, I saw there were some similar titles, but, you know, you find the one that's for me if you want that. Praise God. Anyway, that's, you know, those are some of my favorites. Well, let me tell you my all-time favorite subject when I'm preaching to people. Well, apart from praising the Lord, because that's something I love to do. But when it comes to preaching, you all must know that it is faith and encouragement. You know, it's got to be my all-time subject, must be on faith, because my all-time favorite story, because Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? I mean, he could have asked anything that he could have found, you know, I wanted to find. But it was faith he chose, you know. So, and there were many, many years ago, when I was just starting out in my journey in this ministry, the Lord revealed to me that, you know, it was going to be, you know, faith. You know, and he already put that in me, and I was discovering more and more of it. And the Lord will put stuff in you that you will discover. The other day I was saying that, look, God doesn't throw dice or play dice with your life. Just throw the thing, throw the dice and see how it comes out. Absolutely not. Everything is crafted, you know, and planned. And whatever giftings you will, you know, use later on in your walk with God, it's already there. You know, just you will discover them. It's all it is. You know, you just discover them later on. You know, so, you know, I discovered the element of faith. And my goodness, if you know how to do it, there's many things. You know, one time the disciples asked Jesus, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we cast him out? His first answer was, well, because of your unbelief, because you didn't have faith. So basically, if you have faith, according to Mark 9 and 23, if you have faith, you can do anything. All things are possible to him that believes. You know, and even when the disciples were afraid, you know, Mark 4, in the face of the storm and everything, you know, there was a remarkable statement that Jesus made, you know, when he talked to them and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? This is Mark chapter 4, you know, and verse 40. So you see that even in situations in life, when the storms of life come up against you, which is what we've been dealing with this month, and I'm now going to go into my lesson, you know, you've got to have faith. Jesus is rebuking the disciples here. He rebuked the storm, but then he rebuked the disciples. And he's going to rebuke the disciples here and say, you don't have faith. Why is it that you don't have faith? If you have faith, you can weather the storm, is what Jesus is telling them. Why didn't you have faith? You know, now fear and faith don't go together. The righteous are bold as a lion. You know, now don't, you know, let the fear of the unknown or fear of the outcome. You know, you are in the storm. You don't know how it's going to be, whether you're ever going to make it to the shore or so on and so forth. That's why they panicked, because in the moment, you know, when the boat is being tossed up and down, the waves are coming into the boat and everything. And, you know, they can't control it. They can't steer the boat in the direction they want it to go. And that moment, panic set in and they thought they would perish. So they ran to the master. But as far as Jesus was concerned, the way to deal with that moment were two things. Number one, don't be fearful. Number two, exhibit your faith. Hallelujah. So faith, powerful stuff. And you know, even our church, our GMI church, in the early days of the church, many years ago when we first started, one day I was thinking, and I was just praying. I went on a walk and I was praying and I'm talking with God and so on. And I said, Lord, you know, and I started to pray about some things because church was just starting out and I didn't know which direction the church would go, you know, how it would grow and stuff like that. And the Lord said, but you are forgetting, you know, I was troubled in my heart about many things. And the Lord said, but you are forgetting your secret weapon. And I said, secret weapon. What is that? And he said, your faith, sir. Hallelujah. And I said, yeah, Lord, yeah, I knew that. Praise God. You know, that close conversations with the Lord can just be amusing sometimes like that. So the Lord told me that's your secret weapon. It's always been. And I cast my mind back. You know, that's always been the thing. So today, I want to challenge every one of us to have that faith. You know, you cannot please God without faith. You know, we cannot preach enough or exhaust the subject of faith. There is no way that you can do it. I mean, I've preached, I don't even know, thousands of sermons on faith. One way or another, always come back to it. You know, so by faith, we understand, you know, that Enoch walked with God. So that's the other subject that I love. This is walking with God. That's how this room is named. By faith, Enoch walked with God, you know, and he was translated and God took him. But what happened before his translation? Well, we learned that, you know, he had faith. You know, here's how he says it in Hebrews 11 and 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, so he brought it all together. He told us how Enoch was translated because he pleased God. But he's telling us that there's no way he could have pleased God without faith. So you see how vital faith is. For he that cometh to God must believe. You know, that's your faith right there. That is a rewarder. That God is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, also we've learned severally many times that, look, the word that was spoken did not profit the people when God would tell them various things because they didn't put their faith. It was not mingled with faith. So when we preach on word of hope, or word of faith, like I'm going to release this morning, you got to have faith, you know, because if you don't mingle that word with faith, it may not even work for you. The word will always work, but whether it works for that particular individual is the question, you know. And when the Lord gave promise of the promised land, you know, only two of them actually, of the 12 that went to search out the land, you know, only two of them sanctified that word of promise in their heart. You know, the rest of them were like, we can't do it, you know. So, and they'll say, well, because you say you can't do it, then you will not do it. You know, so the, you know, it is very, very vital for us to have faith. Faith in the word of God that is promised. But here's what the scripture says in Romans chapter 3. I love this part also. And Romans chapter 3. I love it. The what if some did not believe, he said in Romans 3 and 3. What if some did not believe? I mean, when God gave promise and some people believe and some did not believe, well, what happens if some did not believe? Or even if most did not believe, then what? You know, is that going to then make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid, he said. Let God be true, you know, and every man a liar, you know. So, and this scripture talks about the oracles of God committed to some, but they did not believe it. Well, did that change anything? Well, for them, it missed it, but it did not change the oracles. The oracles are in play, you know, like that. And it will come to pass. And all that God needs is one person, you know, to believe his word. In fact, if you read Hebrews chapter 11 and you read verse 7, you will learn a great secret there, you know, that the Lord is telling us. So in that chapter 11 of Hebrews, he talked about many stories and many testimonies of faith. But in this one verse, he's talking about Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, not the morbid kind of fear, but, you know, he moved with urgency, you know, believe the word, and he moved with urgency to do it. Well, it took many years, but he started working on it as soon as God told him. He moved and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And listen to the next thing he says right after that. By the which he condemned the world. The fact that Noah believed God condemned the rest of the world. That's it. The fact that Joshua and Caleb believed the Lord condemned the rest of them. You know, so the moment one person believes it, they condemn the rest of the world. And God will always have a remnant. There is no way in the world that God will not have one person that will believe something that he said. And the moment that one person believes it, the rest of them are condemned. I didn't believe it. That's what he said right here. Noah, believing God, condemned the world. You know, so let's believe God. If you don't believe God, that's not going to make the faith of God of none effect. So today's lesson is going to be, we're still on the Exodus series. We're going to pick this story up. And Exodus chapter 12 is where we're going to pick up today's series. If you missed any part of it, you can go back and listen to, you know, we've done five or so lessons. This would have been maybe lesson six or seven. I forget where we are, but I want to do this. I wanted to do this one here. Exodus chapter 12. We've seen all the plagues, and here is where we are now. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. See, now that's where we are now. The Lord has said many things, and it seemed as if Pharaoh would not let them go, right? And everything that Pharaoh had tried and said, you know, and made things worse for them, and God began to harden his hearts and so on. But we're getting to the grand finale now of this showdown. So here in chapter 12, this would have been the sixth lesson. We've done five lessons on this Exodus, you know. So here is what the Lord said to him. This is the title of this message today. Still, you can still call it, Let My People Go, That They May Serve Me, Part 6. You can call it that. But I chose this subtitle because it's more appropriate to what I want to say today, being the last day of this month. We started declaring it since the beginning of this month. This month, the Lord said, shall be unto you the beginning of months. Hallelujah. So, you know, that's all I want to say from that. Now, of course, the Lord told them many things, what they're going to do, you know, with, you know, the Passover, you know, and so on. You know, this, the Passover was introduced right here in this chapter, you know, when the Lord told them, you know, what they would need to do. And he commanded them also how they would keep the feasts, you know, for their generations to follow and so on. And the Lord talked about the blood. You know, you take a lamb for an house. It's all in here, you know, and take a lamb for an house. And, you know, if you know, if your household is too small for one lamb, you know, then bring others together and share it and so forth. But a holy convocation he called for, an ordinance for them forever. You know, and then he told them the days of the month and so forth, when they shall even eat the unleavened, you know, bread and so on and so forth. He told them many things. And he said, look, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood, he told them, you know, when you kill this thing, put the blood on the doorposts of your houses. Right? So what to tell them? And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. This is verse 22. You strike the lintel on the two side posts, you know, basically of your door. And then none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. This because the Lord said this night, the angel of destruction will pass through the land, you know, and it will smite anything that's not in the house that has the blood. Praise God. And the Lord told them, you will observe this thing as an ordinance to thee and to your sons forever. And you will keep this thing when you come even into the land which the Lord shall give you, even as he has promised. You shall keep this service. And when it shall come to pass that your children shall ask you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And all the people bowed their head and worshipped. This is what the Lord told them. This is where he instituted it. But let me say to you this way. If any of the children of Egypt had come, even firstborn, because the Lord said he's going to strike all the firstborns, right? We read that yesterday. If any firstborn of Egypt, even if the firstborn of Pharaoh had come into one of those houses that had the blood on it, there was no way that the angel could do anything. Because God already said it. Anybody that's underneath, that behind those doors, that had the blood on the lintels on each of the side, that's it. The angel of the Lord, when I see the blood, he said, I will pass over. And so when he saw the blood, the angel of the Lord just passed over. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter who was inside. You know, all he needed to see was the blood. And that's a marvelous thing for us today. You know, the passport, you know, to redemption is the blood of Jesus Christ. For without, you know, the shedding of blood, but told in Hebrews 9:22, there is no remission of sins. You can't do it without the shedding of blood. And you could not do it with the blood of goats and bulls and stuff like that. You know, almost all things we're told are by the law purged with blood. Hebrews 9:22. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so the remission of our sins by the shedding of our blood. And as long as the Lord sees that blood, it didn't matter what was in the house. I say, well, consider your house your life. Hitherto for whatever life you lived until you came to the cross and you experienced the washing of water by the word and then the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, we're told. Once you repent and confess your sins, you cleanse. And God will see only the blood. Do not care what's inside the house. He will see the blood only. And that's it. See the blood. And he say, yep, this one's good. I'll pass over. No destruction here. Move on to the next house. And that's how it went throughout the land that night. And I wondered and said, well, could any of the Egyptians have just run into one of those houses? And you know, folklore, and you know, they had it in their folklore, the way they wrote those things, that actually the woman that raised Moses up from you know, in Pharaoh's palace, that she actually came into one of those houses or stuff like that, you know. And she went with them. You know, she was saved because she came in under the blood. Well, when you come in under the blood, you are saved. But the announcement I want to make today, being that it is the last day of this month, I want to announce that we said it at the beginning of the month. We, meaning the Holy Ghost, said, and I'm just, you know, repeat what he said. You know, that this is the month, this shall be the month of rest, and it shall be the beginning of months. And I want to repeat that for you now, that we are at the end of the month, so to speak. But the end of the month, because of the revelation that the Lord is calling it the beginning of months, we know it's the ending of one thing and the beginning of other. And so tomorrow, by the grace of God, being the first day of the eighth month, eight meaning the number of new beginnings, and one being, of course, the beginning of a new cycle, it's going to be something that we will also reveal tomorrow. But I want you to know what the Lord said to us today, or saying to us today, is what he has been saying all month long. And I said, I will talk of this all month long by the grace of God, because the devil is going to be fighting it, but I'm going to be talking about it, that it will be your month of rest, because God wants you to come into his rest. The devil will be fighting it, but you are coming into that rest. At first, things may get worse. That's why we've been doing this Exodus series, to show you that things actually got worse for the children of Israel. Even though the Lord said, I'm bringing you out of there. Well, Pharaoh said no. And so things got worse. and worse until the point that, you know, the children of Israel actually hated Moses. They said, look, we knew our plight was bad, our situation was bad, but you've now made it even worse. You know, before they used to give us, you know, provender and straw and all these things, you know, and so forth, and all the materials we needed to make brick. And since you came and began to talk to Pharaoh about these things, they no longer give us any of these things and tell us to go find ourselves. And yet they're telling us that we must not diminish anything from the tail of bricks. So they hated Moses. You know, so their situation got worse. And when the situation was getting worse, it was hard for them to see that it would actually get any better. So this is the lesson that I've been trying to teach this whole month. That look, when the Lord says that you're coming out of that hard servitude, and the Lord is going to bring times of refreshing and cause you to enter into a period of rest so that you can build. Remember, we did the story of Asa, how during his time of rest, he was able to build. We read the story of David, how that he, during his time of rest, after God had given him rest all around, he thought within his heart to build, to do more for the Lord. And he said, look, now that God has given me rest from every side, it's time for me to build the house of the Lord. He couldn't do it when he was running for his life, you know. And so, but the Lord said, yeah, it's a good thing. I see your heart is good, but you will not be the one to do it. You know, you've shed too many blood and so forth, you know, too much blood on you, you know, that you've been through. So, but your son will do it. So you teach him and you prepare, you know, and he did. But that was in his heart. And Solomon also, because he came into preparation. I mean, David prepared a great store for Solomon, of all the things that Solomon would need. People, everybody thought Solomon did great, but David was the one that put the majority of it aside. And Solomon, because he had rest, he didn't have wars like his father. He just had rest on every side. He was actually able to build. 20 years he did in building. That's right. 20 years he did in building. You know, the palace, I mean, the temple and his own palace. You know, it took 20 years to build them both. But on those years, the Lord gave him rest. That's why he was able to do it. So we see that when the Lord gives you rest, it's not time for you to fold your arms and then, you know, just get into the things that don't please the Lord. No, it is time for you to do more and advance your spiritual walk with God. Because all these lessons, you know, when they had rest, they did more for the Lord, or at least wanted to do more for the Lord. So that's what we've been teaching throughout this month. We're coming to the end of the month, and I'm summarizing it in this one sentence today. That this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. Beginning because in this month, the Lord called forth for a time of rest for you. And although it may not seem like that at the first, it may actually seem like things might get worse. Nevertheless, the word of the Lord that is gone forth will not return void. The Lord will watch over that word, and he will perform it, saith the Lord. Everything, you know, that the Lord has said concerning this month, let's read it and listen to it. In Isaiah chapter 55, I will read from verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, so the rain when he comes back down, that's it. He's not going to go back, you know, up. But he watered the earth and make it bring forth and to bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Hallelujah. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and ye shall be led forth with peace. That's right. The mountains and the hills. Now, mountains and hills can represent all kinds of things. And I preached on topics about mountains and valleys and different things. Well, mountains and hills, you know, if you are on a journey and a mountain is blocking your path, what are you going to do? If the only way to continue is you either have to climb that mountain or get around it somehow, but the mountain is right in the way. There's no other way. There may be a path actually that people are charted through the mountain, and maybe that's the only way to get across. Well, hills and different things, you know, these are difficulties. These are challenges that you may meet, you know. Well, rather than be, you know, continue to be a hindrance and an opposition, they will actually begin to break forth into singing. The things that used to be problematic. In other words, the would-be destiny destroyers are now turned, even sometimes unwillingly, into destiny helpers. And we've seen many destiny helpers, you know, helped along someone's destiny, even though they didn't know they were doing it. We've seen the story of Joseph, a marvelous story, perhaps the best in that whole lesson of would-be destiny destroyers becoming unwilling and unknowing destiny helpers. His brothers wanted to kill him and sold him into slavery and all that. They were would-be destiny destroyers. Let's do this to him and we'll see what will become of his dreams. Nothing shall become of his dreams. All those dreams he's been telling us and so on. Let's kill him or let's do this and do that to him. Well, even among his brethren was actually an immediate, the two of them were immediate destiny helpers. Well, let's not kill him. Put him over here because he was thinking he'll come back and save him later. And another one said, well, here's a band of Ishmaelites. Why let him rot in the, you know, in the pit forever? Just sell him into that, you know, but at least we'll get him out of our lives. Carry him away into a foreign land. And so they wanted to destroy, or thought they were destroying his destiny. However, you know, they became unwilling and unknowing destiny helpers, because everything they did, which was in their hearts negative, actually pushing Joseph closer and closer to his destiny. And there was yet another would-be destiny destroyer, and the wife of Potiphar, who framed him for something he did not do and got him thrown into prison. Well, she wanted to make his life miserable because she tried to seduce him and he didn't give in to her. But yet she also became a destiny, an unwilling destiny helper, because it was Joseph, by he going into prison, that allowed him to meet, you know, the butler and the baker from Pharaoh, who had been thrown into prison, and in the same prison where he was. And he met them, and you know the rest of the story. And finally would interpret their dreams, and the butler would be returned to his position, even though at first he forgot Joseph for 2 years, eventually he would be in a position when Pharaoh would dream a dream that nobody could interpret, the man would remember Joseph. And here we go. And that day, Joseph's story changed forever. But he was building up to it, suffered many things. And when sometimes when the Lord tells you something, he doesn't tell you what's in between. And the Lord, it can be like that, you know. He will just tell you, oh, you'll be great. You know, your brothers will do obeisance to you and so forth, you know. And, you know, we're in the field, you're gathering and doing sheaves, and your sheaves did obeisance to mine. The stars and the sun and the moon and so forth, they bow down to me. All these great things that the Lord was showing me in the dreams. The Lord never told him. You are going to almost die to get there, you know. So, you know, that's how the Lord can be. He doesn't always tell you everything and show you that you're going to be great. But in the in-between, he didn't tell Joseph. But he was with him nonetheless. The word of the Lord tried Joseph, we're told. And that word of the Lord that came to him in dreams and so forth was also tried. And he had the opportunity to have renounced that word. The devil would tell him, because he heard his brother say it, that we'll see what will become of your dreams now. And so the devil would remind him, well, when he was in the pit, we'll see, you're going to be great, huh? Your brothers will bow down to you, huh? We'll see about that. And then when he was being carried into slavery and thrown into prison and all these things, the devil will keep telling him. So you thought you'd be great? Look at you. You're going to rot away in this prison. But no matter, you know, it kept getting worse and worse and worse. As it, though it was looked like that's what was happening, actually were pushing him closer and closer and closer to his destiny. Many years passed, maybe 13 or more. But one day, ha, glory to God, the Lord changed that story from prison to vice regent over the land. I am Pharaoh and you are Joseph. And no one will lift a finger here in Egypt except by you. And whatever you say goes. And he took off his ring and put it in his hand, put him in his chariot, put his robe upon him. And say, where can we find such a man as endowed with the wisdom of the gods like this? Being that you are so discreet and so forth, say, look, you'll be over the land. And told everybody, bow the knee to Joseph. Yeah. Even Potiphar threw him in prison. And Potiphar's wife, they had to come and bow the knee to Joseph. Glory to God. You know, so God is changing your story, ladies and gentlemen. This month will be the beginning of the month. And no matter what it looked like, looked rough, even looked rougher since you heard the promise, yeah, don't worry about it. Stay right there with it. Don't give an inch. That's the message today. This is the beginning of months. And as we close out this month, we're going to enter into a prophetic month tomorrow. This was a prophetic month. It was a month, he said, the first day of the seventh month, you shall blow the shofar and tell them it will be the month of rest. It's jubilee. Nobody will do anything. I mean, rest for you and so forth. And he said it will be Shabbat, rather, and as Sabbath of rest unto you. And the Lord told us it will be the beginning of months. We've been prophesying it. And I prophesy in the name of the Lord to everyone that is here today, hearing my voice or listening to it later, that this, indeed, this month of July 2024 shall indeed be the beginning of months until you will look back. You will remember these messages. You will look back, you will think back and you will say, oh yeah. You know, it's like those disciples in Luke chapter 24. They said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke with us along the way? Yeah. You will look back and you will say, wow. Did not the Lord tell us that this will be the beginning of months? Yeah. And then you will send out, come and rejoice with me. Ha! Glory to God. And the Lord will get the testimony. That's right. The testimony of the Lord is sure. We're told. You know, there is no way in the world that the Lord is going to let the devil steal his thunder, you know, or steal his testimony. The testimony of the Lord in your life shall be sure. And this word that is given today is certain. And the testimony of the Lord shall be sure in your lives. I am going to pray over the room today that this very month, as we close it out. Now, don't look with the physical eye only and say, well, I don't see anything. Well, you know, sometimes it doesn't look like it, but it's coming. In fact, Elijah, even though the Lord had told him that the rain was coming, and he saw it and heard it in the spirit, he said, look, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Even though he had to get up and go and eat and drink and so on. But he himself wouldn't do it. He went to prayer. He knew what he had to do. Even though the Lord promised it, you still have to pray it through. You still have to keep on believing. And he knew that. Sent his servant to go check it out. The man came back and said, I see nothing. You know, and Elijah was not discouraged. He knew what the Lord promised. And he kept praying. You know, prayed fervently, we're told in James chapter 5. Prayed fervently and fervently and fervently. Sent the man back again. Put his head between his knees and began to pray unto the Lord. Lord, you said. That's how you pray. Those kinds of prayers is all about, Lord, you said. Lord, you said. You showed. And I saw. And the Lord showed. And I also saw the sea billows rolling backwards. And the Lord showed. And I also saw beyond the brick wall and beyond the gates of brass and so forth. I saw jubilation and I saw rejoicing on the other side for you in the name of the Lord Jesus. So now many minutes, we don't know how many hours passed between those prayers of Elijah and sending out his servant. Finally, on the seventh time, the man said, well, actually, you know, I see something. It's like a cloud, you know, rising out of the sea, but doesn't look any bigger than a man's fist. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it right there. Praise God. So look, you hang in there, even though you don't see it the first time, the seventh, second time, third, sixth, fourth, whatever. You stay right there with it. But it is coming. Hallelujah. And it will not tarry, said the Lord, but it should surely come. And even though it tarry, you are told to wait for it. It's coming. The Lord already prophesied it and declared it, or the Lord declared it and we prophesied it. God doesn't even prophesy anything. He just says it the way it is. We are the ones that prophesy. So God had declared it and we have prophesied it in his name, and it shall come upon you in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray for everyone that's in here today, those also that may be listening. Let this month, July 2024, be unto them indeed the beginning of months. Let the sea billows that have rolled over them and tried to pummel them down, let it roll back in Jesus' name. Let there be a roll back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let the carpenter's anointing come forth to break down those four horns that have pummeled the people of God and brought you trouble after trouble. This will indeed be the month of rest for you, and it shall start. And we declare to the Pharaohs and to the Assyrians and to all the horns that have tried to set people back, the gates of brass, the bars of iron, holding the people back, we declare unto them by the word of the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Hallelujah. And whether Pharaoh liked it or not, as my father, he didn't like it. And he tried everything against that word. But nonetheless, the word of God prevailed. And we're going to see in chapter 13 tomorrow how the word of God actually prevailed. And a new day. Glory to God. Rashetori baro sondikara. a new day started for them. Come out of bondage and hard servitude. Glory to God. And the Egyptians which you see today, he told them, you will see no more. And we'll go into that lesson tomorrow and you'll see how the Lord timed this series perfectly. Hallelujah. God, we give you the grace, the glory, for the grace that you have given to your people. You granted us faith to believe you in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. You granted us the faith to believe your word. Hallelujah. And we declare, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief in Jesus' name. For all things indeed are possible to him that believeth. Now, unto him that is able, you know, to watch over his word in your life. Unto him that has said, my word shall not return void, but accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Unto him be praise, unto him be glory, but now and forever. And in the days to follow, when you see the sea billows roll backwards, and when you see the glory of God and the establishing of his word of rest and refreshing for you, in the name of Jesus, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.